If you want to go to my website and get the audio from previous debates, or later I'll have the audio from this debate up there. You can do that. Also, you can get my debate charts and other things there. There you have the information you need. Appreciate Charlotte being willing to do this discussion. It takes a lot of courage for a preacher to be willing to defend what he believes, and I appreciate that of him. Let's talk about Sodom and Gomorrah again, as Charlie did. First of all, Charlie said, why didn't they say in the Hebrew Scriptures that Sodom was homosexuality? He wants to know. Well, they did. For example, in Genesis 19, verse 5, it says that the men wanted the two visitors that they may know them. And we looked at Adam knowing Eve twice and conceiving. We found out what that meant. But Charlie didn't respond to that. That's a sexual sin, that they may know him. Remember, we looked at Ezekiel 16, his passage, verse 50, and the sin is called abomination, which should remind you of Leviticus chapter 18, 22, and Leviticus 20, 13. So Ezekiel 50 indirectly says they committed the sin of homosexuality. Then in verse 58, it says they committed the sin of lewdness, and we read the definition of that, and that has to do with sexual sin. Jude, verse 7, another passage we looked at, Charlie hadn't had time to respond, says they committed fornication, and it was called strange flesh, indicating it wasn't normal fornication, man between women, but it was man to man. Now I want you to notice, as we point out from the very beginning, Charlie keeps saying, yes, if they committed rape, we're against that. And we're agreed on that, Charlie. Rape's wrong, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual. But as I pointed out when I first presented this passage, their sin was called grievous even before the two visitors went to the city. Then the men of Sodom requested sexual relations, homosexual relations with the visitors. Not rape, they requested it. At this point, Lot calls their request wicked and rebuffs their request. Then comes into play the attempted rape. All of this happened before the attempted rape. Their sin is called grievous. The homosexual relations that they requested is called wicked, and this is before they attempted rape. After that, when they attempted rape, that compounded the sin. That made it even worse. Jude calls it fornication, strange flesh. The Bible makes it clear what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is. Charlie, again, said Leviticus is talking about ritual uncleanness. But he failed, and he already made that argument in his first speech, and I responded to it with this chart. He failed to even notice anything that I said. It doesn't make sense to call this ritual uncleanness because the adultery and the bestiality, sex with animals, is in the same context. Charlie said that's the same word, abomination. Is that just ritual uncleanness? What about committing abomination with your neighbor's wife, adultery? Remember we made the point, I asked, is that ritual uncleanness or is that morally wrong? What about when they burn their children in fire to the gods as a way of idolatrous worship to other gods? It's the same word. Is it just ritual uncleanness? We need you to respond to that, Charlie. We have that in Deuteronomy 12, 2 Kings 16, 2 Chronicles 28. Deuteronomy 27 is related. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination to the Lord. It's the same Hebrew word. Is it just ritual uncleanness, idolatry? Seven things are an abomination to the Lord. Lying, murder, is that just ritual uncleanness, murder? According to Charlie's argument, it is, because he said that's what the word means, that this same word is applied to these sins. Here again, in Ezekiel, the last verse there, it's applied again to adultery. If I were to commit adultery against my wife, is that just ritual uncleanness? It's not really that bad. Violators of this Levitical censor against homosexuality were put to death. Why? If it was only ritual uncleanness. I'm not sure I understood Charlie's next point, but I think he was trying to argue, you may nod yes or no if you want to, Charlie, that Leah and Rachel were lesbians together. Were you saying that? Okay. Then were you just, okay, you were just maybe saying that there, you were saying they committed some sin, though.
According to the Levitical law, you will not marry some sisters while
both are alive. I got it. I missed the point. Okay. Of course, I'm not sure I need to respond to that since it has nothing to do with homosexuality, but that was done before the Levitical censor of that. Let me mention this to you. When Adam and Eve were the first ones on earth, and then you had Cain, the question always comes up with people who don't believe about where did Cain get his wife. Before Leviticus, it was okay to marry your sister because that's the only way they could procreate. Then when they got enough people where that could cause a problem, inbreeding could cause a problem, Then God made a law against that. So when Leah and Rachel were living, there was no law against marrying two sisters. Now, then Charlie said he'd never heard a sermon condemning Lot and his daughters, incest. I have heard a sermon against that, Charlie. Then in Romans 1, Charlie said, about Romans 1, he said, for this reason, everybody look at Romans 1, or for this cause, which is idolatry, I agree, I think, women did change the natural use. Now that's not exactly what it said, Charlie. It says, for this cause or this reason, God gave them up unto vile affections. It was not because of idolatry that they committed the sin of lesbianism. That's not what the text says. They were committing the sin of lesbianism, and because they were committing idolatry, God gave them up into this sin. At first, when faithful Christians sin, God makes an extra special effort in some ways, maybe just through providence, through the Word, to try to pull them back. But if they continue on and continue on with heinous sin for many, many years, there it comes to a degree, God, they steer their conscience, God gives them up. In other words, He doesn't make quite the same effort. Now, it's not important that you necessarily agree with that point. I think you do. But the point is, it's not saying that they were committing lesbianism because of idolatry. It's saying because of idolatry, God gave them up unto that. In other words, He kind of gave up on them. They had been for many, many years, they used to believe in God, the text says. They quit believing in God. And when they got into these terrible sins like homosexuality, finally, God just sort of gave up on them. It means He didn't try as hard to try to convert it back because He had probably sent manifold different preachers to try to get them to repent and they'd always refuse. That's all that's saying. It doesn't say because of idolatry they were lesbians. It says because of idolatry He gave them up unto the sin. So, Charlie missed that. And that's an important mistake, Charlie, because that point that you made was your proof that the homosexuality was not condemned there, but you missed the point of the text. But I appreciate you trying to deal with the point. Charlie also said this is not talking about who they were. This chart will deal with this idea that really they were only committing this sin because they were trying to worship an idol, because of idolatry. And the fact that this is not who they were. All right, let's look at that. The language of the passage condemns the act of homosexuality by itself. It says vile affections. They were driven by their personal affection, not for the idol. Changed the natural use. The sex act itself was unnatural. They burned in their lust. Why were they committing this sin? Because of the idol? Was it just dispassionate sin? They were just doing this sex act because of the idol? No, they were doing it to satisfy their own lust, not for the idol. Now, there's a homosexual champion scholar. I know that Charlie's heard of him, John Boswell. He tells why Charlie's argument is inadequate. I don't believe he's any kind of authority. He just says it better than I can. I want you to see what he says. He is a homosexual champion scholar. And he's saying why Charlie's argument won't work. He said it's clear that the sexual behavior, in Romans 1 he's talking about, itself is objectionable to Paul, not merely its associations, like association with idolatry. Paul is not describing cold-blooded, dispassionate acts performed in the interest of ritual or ceremony. He states very clearly that the parties involved burn in their lust one toward another. It is unreasonable to infer from the passage that there was any motive for the behavior other than sexual desire. For example, a heterosexual man might burn in his lust toward another woman, and he might commit fornication with her. He might even rape her. He sins. It's not because he might be worshiping an idol. It's because he's attracted to that woman. He's lusting after that woman, see? He wants it. That's his orientation, we might say. And that's what we see here. These lesbians and these men were going with their orientation, not against their orientation. They lusted after a party of the same sex, and they had sex with them. They fulfilled that lust, and it was called sin. They were going with their orientation. It was who they were, to put it in Charlie's words. It was according to their orientation, not against it. They lusted, these men did, after other men, and they succumbed to the temptation. The women lusted after the other women, and they succumbed to temptation. Yes, it is condemned in the context of idolatry. They also committed the sin of idolatry, but any sin committed along with idolatry just compounds the sin. It doesn't make that sin right. Let me mention, Charlie said toward the end of this context, in Romans 1, verse 29 and following, it talks about people who were unrighteous, fornicators, wickedness, covetous, malicious, backbiters, haters of God, for example. He says, that's not what homosexuals are. And that's right, Charlie, I agree with you. That's not what homosexuals are necessarily. Heterosexuals commit those sins just as readily as homosexuals, don't they? What we have here is they're not saying all these terms describe one person. What he's saying is, here's a list of sins, of different sins. This person over here might commit one or two or three of those. This person might only commit one. But they're all condemned equally. The homosexual is in the same boat as the person who's a hater of God, or a person who commits fornication, or the person who's a murderer. These are all sins that if you commit them, it says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not be saved. It's not saying this is one man committing all of these sins. This is any person that commits any of these sins. They're all the same. They will cause you to be lost. That's what's going on here. And then he said about this word nature in Romans 1, Charlie did. He said, this is nature like the Jewish mother by nature. I appreciate the illustration. That's a good illustration. Or Hitler was evil by nature. Charlie was saying they weren't born that way. I agree with him in those illustrations. But they were doing something against nature in Romans 1, meaning it was unusual or unexpected. I believe he said beyond expectation. But notice Mr. Thayer, perhaps the most famous Greek definer, lexicographer. There are two words here, I believe. Charlie can correct me if I'm wrong. It's Strong's number 5446 and the related one, 5449. Here's how he defines the words as they're used in Romans 1. Thayer, produced by nature, inborn. That's what he said this word means in Romans 1. Governed by the instincts of nature. Like, I have an instinct in me, to be crude, to have relations with a female, my wife. This is an instinct, Thayer says. As we have on the chart, I believe, 5449, he says, the nature of things, the force, laws, order of nature, as opposed to what is monstrous, abnormal, or perverse, that which is contrary to nature's laws, against nature. So yes, a Jewish mother, she's a Jewish mother by nature. That's not something that she's born with. It's not against the laws of nature. But this, they are saying this word in this context is, it's against the laws of nature. As my preacher friend said, the body parts don't fit. Let's look back at Romans 1. Notice what the passage says. Brenda, how much time?
7 9.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is me. Charlie said, this is not me because I don't do anything shameful. I'm not trying to make this personal. But the text is not saying if you don't think your activity is shameful, it's not. The passage is saying if you do this, it is shameful, whether you consider it to be shameful or not. It is shameful, Charlie, whether you think that it is or not. This is men having sexual relations with men, going against what the Old Testament condemned in Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. It is women having sex with women, and it calls it, whether you consider it that way or not, God does, uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, error. This describes homosexual activity. As I said, homosexuality here is condemned along with these other sins. For example, fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, haters of God. According to Charlie's reasoning, he's my friend, but according to his reasoning, the logical conclusion would be, since homosexuality is condemned here, but it's not really wrong, then even though fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, haters of God is condemned here, they're not really wrong. That would be according to Charlie's reasoning. I know he doesn't believe that. It's just the logical conclusion of what he's saying. These describe other sins that are condemned along with homosexuals. If it is wrong to be a fornicator, it is wrong to be a homosexual. If it is wrong to be a murderer, it is wrong to be a homosexual. If it is wrong to be a hater of God, it is wrong to be a homosexual. Charlie brought up Romans chapter 11 about God doing something unnatural and comparing that to what was going on in Romans 1. God uses an analogy here. He compares us taking part of I believe it's a wild olive tree, a branch, and what's the word we say? Grafting it into a good olive tree. And then God is saying, that's kind of like me bringing the Gentiles in. You remember, under the old law, it was just the Jews. Just the Jews. They were God's chosen people. But under the new law, we bring in the Gentiles. Aren't we lucky? We're all Gentiles here, I think, probably. We're lucky. There's a comparison being made. Bringing in the Gentiles is like taking a wild olive branch and grafting it into a good olive tree, something that's not wild, okay? But God is not saying He did something unnatural. But think of this. The thing that's unnatural in the illustration is grafting the branch in. Now, I believe that Charlie's illustration in Romans 11 is a good illustration of homosexuality. When you take a wild branch from a wild olive tree and graft it in, you're going against nature, right? I didn't say necessarily you're committing a sin. I don't believe that, but it's against nature. If you just let nature take its course, what are the two kinds of dogwoods? One's white and one's pink, but you can mix them by grafting in. Okay, if you just let nature take its course, one would be all white or all pink, the blooms on the dogwood tree. But you can do something that goes against what nature would do and graft something in, and you can get a dogwood tree that blooms pink and white blooms. But it's against nature. Okay? I didn't say sinful, it's against the natural course. If you just let nature take its course, it wouldn't happen. That's the same as Romans 1. It's against nature. If you just let nature take its course, it would be like Matthew 19, 4 and 5. God created male and female and said, let them, those two, become one flesh. That's nature. That's the law of nature. That's what Romans 1 means. It's against nature to commit this homosexual act. It's against nature and it's a sin. I believe that homosexuality is just as unnatural as grafting a wild olive branch into a good olive tree. Homosexuality is condemned right alongside bestiality. I brought this up in every speech. Charlie hasn't responded to it, but I'm pretty sure he will in this last speech. Because he's not trying to avoid my arguments, he just doesn't have time. But remember in Leviticus 18:22 it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Neither, that's the next word I believe in your text, shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. Why am I bringing up the parallel that's made in Leviticus? In other words, he condemns homosexuality right alongside having sex with an animal. The reason I'm doing that is because I believe you'll agree with me that man having sex with an animal is wrong and sinful. Not just ritual uncleanness, but morally wrong. And if you agree with me on that, then I'm trying to tie the two together, that one is just as bad as the other. He does this also in Leviticus 20. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. You shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So, as you see from both passages, the sin of homosexuality is put in the same category as a man or a woman having sexual relations with an animal. They're both wrong in the same sin. In the Old Testament, the homosexual and the man that had sex with an animal were both put to death. It was a serious sin. It wasn't just ritual uncleanness. It was an abomination, quote, an extra bad sin. In the New Testament, it's still condemned. God does things differently in the New Testament. He didn't say put him to death like that. But He still condemns the sin. We've shown that. Then I want you to remember 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Charlie will get around to answering this in his next speech. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Clearly saying that homosexuals, just like fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and extortioners and drunkards, will not go to heaven. They won't be saved. We know from other passages they can be saved if they'll repent, if they'll quit the sin. But as long as they persist in the sin, they won't be saved according to God. 1 Timothy 1 verse 10, we also know this. The law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers. Notice the categories that homosexuality is put in. Mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God which He trusted to me. Homosexuals, this condemns this sin just like it condemns all these other sins. In my last 30 seconds, I want to be frank with you. What led to what? Did your honest biblical interpretation on this issue lead you to your homosexual practice, or did your desire and practice lead your interpretation? I read a lot of literature from homosexual preachers. They said, I was in a denomination, I was a homosexual, they made me feel guilty, they got out, and they went to the MCC. That's letting your desire drive your belief. Thank you very much.
Your belief should drive your desire.